I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
Ordered to close or feeling forced to all the same. As Ontario steps back into stricter measures, the road ahead seems nearly impossible to navigate for many. Good evening. This is another day of adapting across the province between the conditions, the consequences, and the costs of COVID-19.
And you don't need to look very far to find examples of the challenges people are grappling with. CTV's Austin Delaney begins our coverage tonight live on Queen East. Austin.
Well, this fast-moving variant is producing some real troubles for businesses. Of course, we got the restrictions that came into effect today, but other businesses are having trouble as well. Small businesses, it's people getting sick with COVID. They're either having to cut back their hours or shut their doors completely for a little while.
It is not a very long stroll along Queen Street East before one runs into a small business affected by the highly contagious Omicron virus. The sign on the window of Bud's Coffee reads, closed due to possible contact. A few doors down, another small business, temporarily closed until January 8th due to staffing issues. Chris Allen at Beach Mac says they've had one employee with it here and another at the West End shop, and he worries it could become a staffing issue.
It definitely would if any other people get sick. It would be quite a big issue for us.
Would you have to close?
Potentially, yeah. There's always the chance that that could happen if two or three people were to get sick.
Anna Alexander owns a picture framing shop and has had to lay off staff.
Business is very slow right now. I think a lot of people have extreme concerns with this new variant.
Over at the Toronto Popcorn Company, Joseph Vallea says he cannot get people to work in the store. They are too afraid, he says, to interact with customers who are potentially virus carriers.
It's been pretty hard to convince them to work public facing.
He's trying to take his business online if he can sublet the space.
So we're going to go ahead and do some squats. So we're going to go ahead and try for 15 reps.
At the other end of the beach at Thrive Fit, Brian Katoka has turned to online lessons. As of today, in-class lessons are canceled.
It does hurt. The first lockdown, we lost 80% of our income. So it was really, really painful hit because a lot of our members need the personalized care. They want to be in person. They're looking for guidance.
It is a boutique fitness business with one-on-one learning.
I want you to hold down for a second.
And only four customers at a time, but they are not embracing online. Losing those few customers paying top dollar for one-on-one stings.
And every time people leave, less come back. It's starting to really hurt us.
This morning, Sunset Grill cook Ruben Pillai was trying to make some money through takeout. Most workers at this usually busy restaurant have been laid off.
Because we got only a few orders, maybe 5-10 orders per day.
The Sunset Grill specializes in breakfast, and Pillai says eggs are not the kind of food that stay warm for long.
They don't want to take a takeout. You know, the fine dining, they'll take a takeout. Breakfast egg is, you take it in 10 minutes, it's going to garbage. You know, you can't eat.
Now he relies on the phone to get as much business as he can.
And while hope is never really a plan, these small business owners are sure hoping this variant peaks soon that they can get back to some sort of normalcy. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. We were warned it would happen. The staffing strain is being acutely felt in our health system tonight.
Shortages with paramedics and hospital workers, some of the numbers are startling, and they're leading to desperate appeals for action. CTV's Mike Walker is live on Hospital Row with more. Mike.
Well, Nathan, Michelle, some GTA hospitals and paramedic services say they are seeing the highest staff shortages of this pandemic. And some of the calls for action include bringing the military in to help, as well as increasing wages for nurses. They are among the first to respond, but can't escape the rapid spread of COVID-19.
We're certainly seeing more paramedics individually impacted by COVID, being diagnosed with COVID.
obviously they can't come to work if they've got COVID. And we're also seeing more paramedics who are living with somebody who's been diagnosed with COVID.
Staffing shortages have resulted in Peel Paramedic Services recently declaring a code black. That's when one or fewer ambulances are available, while others are tied up with calls, often waiting hours with a patient to be transferred to hospital staff.
The hospitals don't have as many nurses. They can't staff, so we end up waiting with patients.
The chief of paramedic services says measures are being taken, including expanding the use of rapid antigen testing, redeploying non-union paramedics, and adding more overtime shifts.
We're going to make sure that if you need an emergency service, it's available.
It's a problem in other parts of the GTA that is expected to persist as hospitals see high demand but continue to grapple with staffing shortages brought on by Omicron.
Offload times are higher. Also, with everyone being super short-staffed, it's just really difficult because, you know, you may be able to, you're constantly just playing catch-up, right? And the volume in the community is not going down.
At Humber River Hospital, 10% of staff are currently off work due to COVID-19, forcing non-urgent procedures to be canceled.
We've scaled back surgeries to urgent, emergent, and cancer cases only. We've redeployed our operating room and our perioperative staff to inpatient areas, etc.
At the University Health Network, approximately 550 of more than 17,000 employees are off work after testing positive for the virus.
Previously, in the earlier waves, we would have about 10 staff within a significant exposure or a COVID-related illness off at worst per day, and we're seeing up to 100 per day right now. We're doing everything in our power to redeploy staff.
The Ontario Liberals are urging the Ford government to ask for military assistance. Meantime, nurses say they are burnt out, reigniting calls to repeal Bill 124, which caps public sector wages at 1%.
I think it is more crucial now than ever. If you want nurses to come in and do extra work or work above their 40 hours a week or whatever hours a week they normally work, you need to pay them.
For its part, the province says its directive to pause non-emergency procedures will increase hospital capacity by up to 1,500 acute and post-acute beds. Now today, Niagara Health announced it's temporarily closing its urgent care center in Fort Erie to redeploy physicians and nurses to other emergency departments in the region. And just a short time ago, William Osler, which operates hospitals in Brampton and Etobicoke, has announced it's declaring its code orange over after adding a number of strategies to address the high patient volume and staffing shortage. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Straight ahead, Canada's rapid test rollout. The deal to distribute tens of millions of them across the country as demand shows no sign of slowing, when more kits could arrive here in Ontario.
Plus, the party's over. Consequences for Canadian passengers on board a rowdy flight to Mexico. The influencers now struggling to find a ticket home.
For millions in Ontario, this was a morning of waking up and logging on.
The return of online learning. Students, parents, and educators all wondering how long the classroom will stay virtual. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
At Premier Doug Ford, Michelle had promised that schools would be the last to close and the first to open. Today, though, as shoppers could head into malls in Ontario, students were stuck at home learning from a laptop. Students across Ontario switched on their computers this morning for the first day of 2 weeks of online learning. But for parents who are also essential workers, they had to scramble just to make this happen.
I had to leave the house by 6 a.m. and be here at 6:45. So I had to get a friend of mine to come over and sleep the night. That way they could wake up with my children, get my little one to daycare, and then my other one on online learning, while they themselves had to now, you know, work from my house, you know, for their job. So,
and for her child, she says online learning has its drawbacks.
He personally doesn't like it. He misses his friends, and they're not motivated for the most part. You know, try doing gym online.
The Ford government shut down schools for 2 weeks as the Omicron variant spreads. But parents are now looking to Queen's Park for a plan to reopen.
I'm not opposed to waiting 2 more weeks. If there is a real plan in place and an actionable plan, they can add more filtration and better air systems in a lot of the schools. A lot of the schools are very old and aging quickly. I know that some of the teachers want better masks provided to them.
I imagine most.
That's exactly what the Minister of Education insists the government is doing. In a statement to CTV News, the minister says the province is deploying N95s for education workers, implementing stricter screening, and making improvements to air ventilation in every school with more than 70,000 HEPA filter units. And the government says 3,000 additional HEPA units have now been purchased. But critics are casting doubt on the government's figures.
Transparently report how many N95 masks or equivalents have been delivered to every school in the province. The same thing with HEPA filters. I don't have any easy to access way to know if my daughter's schools, the classrooms, whether it's one classroom, all classrooms, 50%, have HEPA filters or what the status of the air quality is in their schools.
The Liberal leader is calling on the Ford government to prove that it's been doing its homework. And some interesting comments tonight from Toronto's Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Eileen Davila. She was asked whether she was consulted on the back-to-school plan or the closure of in-person learning. Her response simply was that in-person learning should be preserved, she says, as much as possible, signaling a break with the province. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
Thank you, Colin. Turning to some of the newest COVID-19 data from across the province, there are 2,081 people with COVID-19 in Ontario hospitals today. That is a sharp increase from 1,290 yesterday. 288 of those patients are in intensive care units. That's up from 266 just yesterday. Meanwhile, 11,582 more PCR tests have come back positive. But this is an underestimate of the true number of cases due to stricter eligibility criteria and a lack of testing resources. And more than 94,000 remain under investigation.
Comparing some of those figures to 1 week ago, again, there are more than 2,000 people with COVID-19 in Ontario hospitals today. On December 29th, that number was 726. In intensive care, there are 288 patients. 1 week ago, there were 190.
More than 11,000 cases are considered resolved today, raising that total to nearly 684,000 over the course of the pandemic. 14 additional deaths are linked to the virus today, meaning 10,252 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
As Omicron takes hold in Ontario, there is limited access to COVID-19 tests just when they are perhaps needed most.
But there is some encouraging news tonight as the federal government is promising millions more rapid tests for the provinces. CTV's Glenn McGregor reports.
With long lineups for rapid tests, dubbed by some the COVID Hunger Games, some potential help. The federal government says more test kits are on their way.
Today, I'm pleased to confirm that an additional 140 million rapid tests will be delivered to provinces and territories in the month of January.
The scramble for tests has drawn large crowds in Ontario and Manitoba.
Well, huge line, that's what I can say to you. And I was checking, you know, different sites to make an appointment, just impossible.
And today in Nova Scotia, a line for rapid tests outside a drive-through distribution center that has to be seen from the air to appreciate. Even with more tests coming, it will still be up to the provinces and territories to get them into Canadians' hands. The federal government will stay out of distribution. As Omicron spreads, hospitalizations are rising rapidly, nearly tripling since last week in Ontario, where more than 2,000 are now hospitalized with COVID. In the hardest hit province, 7 million rapid tests will be given to students before Quebec's January 17th target date for return to in-class learning. Healthcare professionals worry about the impact on children if classrooms stay shut.
We know the detrimental effects that school closures have on our kids. You know, their mental health, which is in crisis actively.
The Prime Minister expressed sympathy for kids and parents dealing with virtual learning, but also optimism that, as he's predicted before, relief is coming.
And it gets better in a few months. We're looking at a better spring as long as we all keep doing our part.
The high rate of COVID infections across the country is already causing staff shortages in some hospitals. Now concern about other frontline workers. The Winnipeg Police Service today declared a state of emergency because so many of its personnel are off on COVID-related leave. Glenn McGregor, CTV News, Ottawa.
There's no question about the demand for those rapid tests.
But just how accurate are those kits and what's the potential for false results is the answer many would like to know. CTV's Sean Lethong is live with more. Sean.
Well, Nathan and Michelle, an expert I spoke with today said that the reliability depends on your symptoms. If you are symptomatic, it is very reliable at telling you when you are infectious. But for asymptomatic testing, the reliability drops.
Demand for testing is up, while access to PCR has become restricted, making demand for rapid tests at an all-time high.
We can't get a PCR, obviously. We got to stand in the cold in line.
I live like on the west side, so had to drive over here. And then I waited about like 2 hours in the line.
These are very important right now. And so, yeah, it was worth getting up early to get these.
But as the backbone for testing in Ontario has shifted to rapid tests, and on a day when the federal government is announcing 140 million rapid tests being sent to the provinces and territories, there remains the question over accuracy.
Rapid tests work quite well for people who are experiencing symptomatic illness.
Matthew Miller from the DeGroote Institute for Infectious Disease at McMaster University says that rapid tests are less reliable for asymptomatic testing.
There's been anecdotal reports that the rapid test may be less sensitive for Omicron than it has been for other variants, but I haven't seen that quantified yet in a really concrete way.
Some who are experiencing symptoms can test negative for reasons like human error and lower levels of virus.
Part of the reduced sensitivity may be due to the fact that now that we have a highly immune population, many people on their second or third doses of vaccine, their illnesses are milder, and it's pretty likely that they have lower overall viral load.
This graph released by the Ontario government last week shows the peak period for transmissibility to within the first 5 days after infection, and isolation for vaccinated people with symptoms has been reduced to 5 days.
Given how high community case rates of Omicron are, treating symptoms as if they were COVID is still prudent from a public health perspective.
And according to public health, anyone experiencing symptoms, regardless of rapid test result, is being told to isolate.
And one way Miller said to increase the accuracy of rapid tests is if you are experiencing symptoms, to test on multiple days, and that could mitigate any false negatives. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lethong. Michelle, I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. Still to come, one of the most famous athletes on the planet is stranded down under. My Novak Djokovic is being denied entry to Australia, held at the airport in Melbourne, his visa canceled.
A mild, wet day with the wind a big concern. Michelle Jobin's here with a look at the current conditions. Michelle.
Well, Nathan, we've had milder temperatures earlier in the day, but they are starting to shift from west to east as we deal with this system that brought us rain, now bringing us flurries and very gusty wind. So still a special weather statement in place for the GTA. Most of the areas in yellow here in southern Ontario for winds 70 to 80 kilometres an hour. Niagara, Simcoe, Delhi, Norfolk areas, and also over to Kingston, Prince Edward County, up to 90 kilometer an hour winds possible, and snow squalls to the north as we get into tonight and tomorrow. Right now, sustained winds at 41 kilometers an hour in Toronto, gusts up to 52. Earlier in Hamilton, we were gusting up to 78 kilometers an hour. We've transitioned over to snowfall. Temperatures are dropping, and here in the city of Toronto, we're currently sitting at 0 degrees, minus 7 tonight. Back to you.
Thank you, Michelle. Next to an example of just how dangerous Ontario roads can be at this time of year. And before we show you this video, we do want to let you know everyone walked away unhurt. This was captured on a dash cam near Minden this afternoon. You can see the roads are icy. An SUV losing control, rolling over into the ditch. And again, the driver of that vehicle not injured.
The effort to distribute booster shots is still top of mind.
So how is the demand, and are those sites still seeing long lines? CTV's John Musselman is live with more on that. John.
Well, Michelle, yes, the lineup here started at 6:30 this morning. The clinic opened at 10, but then there was a strange period this morning when no one was here at all, and that's when the call went out.
At one point today, there was no lineup outside this vaccine clinic at Weston Road near the 401. Staff at Humber River Hospital had to make a public plea to get people to show up.
We want people to come. And basically, if you're a third dose, it's a minimal wait period, providing you had no reaction. So it doesn't take long. You probably ask these folks when they're leaving, in, out, get moving.
And it worked. Within an hour, the line was back around the building, much like it has been for the past 3 weeks.
I am very surprised by that. I just actually posted on my Instagram that
this is happening because I was so surprised at how quick it was.
The line's so short, like compared to the last time. And actually, they're booking us for next week, but because everything's closing down, we just want to get our vaccine as soon as possible, right?
How did you find the process?
Very nice. Faster, no problem whatsoever.
The clinic hopes to administer more than 2,000 shots today, and in 2 weeks, officials say it will operate 7 days a week.
Nobody wants to get sick. Everybody wants to keep everything going.
Meanwhile, things were running smoothly at the city-run clinic at Cloverdale Mall. It's by appointment only. Toronto Mayor John Tory was in North York. He toured a vaccine clinic at Seneca College. It was set up in partnership with North York General Hospital. Tory expressed thanks to the community for stepping up to get the shot.
880,000 people so far have shown up to get a booster shot at one of these clinics. And again, for them, it is going to provide them with the maximum amount of protection that they need to have for their own health and the health of their families and the people they live and work with. But also, it is going to move us further along that road to making sure we can get out of this nightmare.
The city is offering 5 mass vaccination clinics to get shots in arms. Toronto Public Health says supply of the Pfizer vaccine is being reserved in priority sequence for residents aged 12 to 29 years. And as of Thursday, all City of Toronto-run clinics will administer Moderna COVID-19 vaccine to residents 30 years of age and older. That may be different depending on whether appointments are booked through hospital networks. Health experts have continually stressed that both Pfizer and Moderna are mRNA vaccines, and people should take the first one offered to protect themselves from severe illness if they contract the virus.
And the last few people are going to the clinic today. It's closed for the night. It will reopen again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you, John. Across the province, 87.3% of eligible people age 5 and older have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And 81.6% of eligible people are deemed fully vaccinated. In Ontario, that's still considered 2 doses.
Next, to the party on a plane that seemingly now left a group of internet influencers grounded.
Have you seen the video? Even the Prime Minister has, and he's not holding back his disgust with the mid-air antics. CTV's Zoraida Allman joins us live with more. Zoraida.
Nathan, the in-flight free-for-all was everything officials have been imploring Canadians not to do since the start of the pandemic. And now the partiers on board that flight are learning the hard way just how serious those rules are.
An unmasked, unruly party aboard a Sunwing charter flight from Montreal to Cancun, making the rounds on social media, eliciting a visceral reaction from many Canadians, including the Prime Minister.
I think, like all Canadians who've seen those videos, I'm extremely frustrated.
The flight left Montreal on December 30th, chartered by a private group. Justin Trudeau says Transport Canada is now launching a full investigation into what exactly happened.
We know how hard people have worked to keep themselves safe, to limit their family gatherings at Christmas time, to wear masks, to get vaccinated, to do all the right things. And it's a slap in the face.
Sunwing Airlines says it's conducting its own independent investigation. The return flight for the Quebecers scheduled for today was canceled. A statement reads, Sunwing Airlines provided terms and conditions to the tour group leader for the private charter to return. Unfortunately, the group did not accept all of the terms. As a result of our ongoing investigation and the group's refusal to accept all terms of carriage, we have made the decision to cancel the return flight. The man who organized the charter tells CTV News the return trip was canceled for unknown reasons. He also said Sunwing didn't want to provide the group with food for their return flight. Meanwhile, other airlines have now said the group will not be allowed on its planes. Air Transat tweeting that it is aware these passengers are attempting to return to Canada on its flights and that, quote, they will be denied boarding, citing safety of passengers and crew their top priority. And a statement from Air Canada reads, to the extent that we can identify the passengers who were part of the group, Air Canada is denying boarding to ensure the safety of other passengers and its crew.
And according to Transport Canada, passengers found in violation of the department's regulations could face fines of up to $5,000 per offense. I'm Zoraida Allman. Nathan, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Zoraida. It's become a full-blown international incident.
Novak Djokovic was denied entry to Australia today after being forced to wait several hours at the airport.
There should be no special rules for Novak Djokovic at all. None whatsoever.
Australia's border service says Djokovic has been cancelled and he will be removed from the country tomorrow. The world number one failed to meet the entry requirements. Djokovic arrived in Melbourne today ready to defend his title at this month's Australian Open. He has not said whether he is vaccinated, but tournament officials granted him a medical exemption, and authorities wanted proof that an exemption was needed. The 20-time Grand Slam winner is receiving support from home tonight.
Serbia's president says, "I told our Novak that the whole of Serbia is with him and that our bodies are doing everything to see that the harassment of the world's best tennis player is brought to an end immediately." Djokovic's exemption raised concern among many in Australia who saw it as special treatment. But today, a six-time Grand Slam champion suggested Djokovic marches to his own drum.
Novak draws a lot of attention. You know, he does things in a bit of a different way. He's not your ordinary Joe that everybody understands or should understand. But I think he followed the rules, giving the opportunity.
Media reported in Australia that Djokovic's team had applied for the wrong type of visa. His lawyers are expected to appeal the decision. In the meantime, Djokovic was on his way to a Melbourne hotel.
Here at home, the highly anticipated showdown between two of hockey's biggest stars will not happen at Scotiabank Arena tonight.
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I didn't have any symptoms or anything, so I plan on playing. Should be fresh, so.
Auston Matthews says he's ready to go for tonight's game against the Edmonton Oilers. The 24-year-old sniper had a positive rapid test result on Monday, but received negative results from subsequent PCR tests.
Matthews was supposed to face off against Connor McDavid, but today the Oilers announced their captain's been placed in the NHL's COVID-19 protocols. McDavid was held out of practice yesterday after testing positive. Further tests confirmed the result.
Meanwhile, Canadian soccer star Alphonso Davies has also tested positive for COVID-19. The 21-year-old Bayern Munich fullback is doing well and is self-isolating at home. The Bundesliga club has 10 confirmed cases. Davies is also on our national team, which plays its next World Cup qualifier on January 27th.
No audience, no red carpet, or no event at all. Sound familiar? Award shows are adjusting once again with Omicron stealing center stage.
This year's Grammys postponed and the Golden Globes unrecognizable. CTV's Andrea Case joins us live in the studio with more. Andrea.
Michelle and Nathan, Happy New Year. Yes, it's called music's biggest night, but why should award shows be any different from our lives these days? Hoping things will get better, the Grammys have not canceled their show, just postponing it for now. Blame the Omicron variant. The 2022 Grammy Awards have been postponed indefinitely. Posting on their website, the Recording Academy, in a joint statement with broadcaster CBS, wrote, "The health and safety of those in our music community, the live audience, and the hundreds of people who work tirelessly to produce our show remains our top priority. Given the uncertainty surrounding the Omicron variant, holding the show on January 31st simply contains too many risks. This is bad news for all of those nominated in the 86 categories, and in particular John Baptiste, who earned a staggering 11 nominations, and 18-year-old Olivia Rodrigo. The new artist nominee earned 7 nods in total, saying on nomination day, it was truly a day I will never forget." The show also courted controversy last year for its lack of diversity when The Weeknd, whose Blinding Lights is the all-time number one song on the Billboard charts, was snubbed, and his album received not one nomination. Last year's show featured performances from other locations as well as a socially distanced audience, ever-changing to support the different categories and winners. As for the Golden Globes, which honors the best in television and film, it lost not only its luster, but its broadcaster when it was revealed last year. The Hollywood Foreign Press's 87 international members had not one black member and faced a litany of criticisms, including racism, a lack of attention for female filmmakers, and their apparent fondness for freebies from the studios and production companies. The 74th annual Golden Globe show will be held without an audience or a red carpet, and no media in attendance. As for how you can watch the show, there has been no word on whether it will be live streamed. In a press release, the Golden Globes promises to, in their words, recognize the importance of supporting diverse creatives and community-based programs that empower inclusive filmmakers and journalists to pursue their storytelling passion. On the year they chose to highlight diversity, it'll be a show which pretty much no one can find. Michelle, I'm Andrea Case reporting live. I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Andrea. Still ahead, pint-sized Coach Cal continues to capture hearts across North America. His latest pep talk causing a big-time talk show host to tear up.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, it's a scaled-back consumer electronics show in Las Vegas this year, but some companies are showing off what they think the future holds. Virtual reality headsets, the next level of robots, and more companies join the electric car market. I'll have a review. That's just ahead.
We're currently under a special weather statement in the city of Toronto for gusty winds tonight, up to 70 kilometers an hour, and that could cause power outages. As we get into tomorrow, the winds will subside a little bit, but there'll still be gusty winds out of the west, 20 to 40 kilometers an hour. Early in the morning, it's going to feel into the minus teens with the wind chill getting up to a high of 1 degree with some flurries and a low and a wind chill of minus 6. I'll let you know what else you can expect in your forecast coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas is now underway, but it has been scaled back to about half its normal size due to the pandemic.
Some of the industry's largest tech companies decided to stay away from in-person participation, but they're still rolling out their latest offerings. Here's Pat Foran with Consumer Alert. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, it's the first in-person show in 2 years, and there are 2,300 exhibitors showing off their newest devices. You'll see more virtual reality headsets, portable entertainment projectors, and Sony is making a move to build electric cars. According to CES, the show must go on. After an all-virtual program last year, CES was supposed to return to its regular format, but Omicron had other plans. Big names such as Amazon, Meta, and Google are participating virtually.
So bringing people together this week hopefully lets us solve future problems and, again, getting us living, working, playing better, all thanks to technology.
Robots are always a major part of CES, and companies were showing off what their latest models are capable of. Electric vehicles are playing a major role this year, from the French startup Moonbike showing off its electric snow bike, which is silent and two-thirds the size of a regular snowmobile.
We have big plans for this new year.
Mercedes-Benz unveiled a concept electric car it believes can travel 1,000 kilometers on a single charge. General Motors also revealed its Chevrolet Silverado electric pickup truck. And Sony has launched a new company to explore building electric cars.
This is a bold step into the future.
There's a lot of technology involved in these cars, and Sony has the advantage that they have a lot of these sensors and technologies that they have been building for many years.
Sony also unveiled a new virtual reality headset that it says will give gamers a deeper immersion into the games they play. LG has its Omnipod, a self-driving mobility concept vehicle that is also a personal living space, which has a vertical television inside, which changes to reflect the theme of the cabin. Samsung was also showing off its Freestyle portable projector.
Wherever you are, the Freestyle can make your space anything you want it to be.
The show wraps up on Friday, one day earlier than initially planned.
And virtual reality continues to expand. There are now virtual makeup chairs, virtual concerts, and exercise routines, and the headsets are expected to have even more applications in the future. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
With the new restrictions now in effect limiting indoor activity, not a surprise to see people making the best of the outdoors despite the conditions.
Yeah, it is nice, but remember, things are going to dip down tonight, Michelle.
Yes, absolutely, Michelle and Nathan. We are looking at temperatures getting a little closer to seasonal as we get through the overnight. As the passage of the cold front happens, we've been seeing temperatures drop from west to east, and that is already starting to happen in Toronto. What we're looking at with this special weather statement, I wanted to go through this again with you, is the potential for strong gusting winds, and we're already seeing that activity, so up to 70 to 80 kilometer hour gusts. That's really especially through southern Ontario. including the GTA, extending eastward, and for the Niagara region, where we'll also see a wind warning up to 90 kilometer hour gusts, and for the Kingston area as well. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. And then, of course, we are also looking at the potential for snow squalls setting up tonight north of the city, and that's going to extend it to tomorrow, and I'll show you how that works. So we're zero in Toronto right now, already feeling like minus seven with the wind chill because winds are quite gusty. We were seeing them gust well over 50 kilometers an hour, up to 78 kilometers an hour in the Hamilton region. Niagara, again, looking for the potential of those 90 kilometer hour gusts. Overnight tonight, a low of minus 7 degrees, feeling like minus 16 early in the morning with the wind chill. So it's going to be very brisk. In the morning, it's going to be a big shift from today. Winds will be out of the southwest, 20 to 40 kilometers an hour as we get in through the overnight. And we'll hang on to that a little bit as we get into the day tomorrow, but winds are shifting to be out of the northwest. A high of minus one, which is closer to seasonal, and we do have flurry activity throughout the area, primarily because of snow squalls that are setting up off of Georgian Bay and Lake Huron. So seeing that snowfall activity now in the city of Toronto, seeing that flurry activity, we were at rain showers earlier, and now that the temperature has dropped, we're seeing flurries. Rain is pushed on to the Kingston, Prince Edward County area. And what we're looking at is the potential for up to 20 centimeters of snow in areas north of the city, for example, Collingwood, over towards the Bruce Peninsula, even the Goderich area. And that's in behind this low moving in, and as winds shift and they ignite out of the northwest over the upper Great Lakes. So showing you how this plays out over the next little while, here's a look tonight as we move through and we start to see that shift in the wind direction. So off of Georgian Bay down towards the Barrie region and through Goderich and London. And watch as we get early or later into the morning and to the early afternoon where we see this one very persistent squall extending Goderich right into the GTA. So that's the best chance for seeing a few pulses of snow. And then that lasts into Friday morning, Goderich down towards London where we get a little bit of clearing. Temperatures cooler. So minus one tomorrow, then minus seven overnight, minus six for Friday, minus four for Saturday, a brief reprieve for Sunday, up to 2 degrees, and then temperatures fall into very cold territory as we start next week. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks for the heads up. Well, it is just one example of thousands in Ontario. A young soccer player's procedure put off as the health system buckles under the strain of COVID.
While the operations may not be life-saving, they can be life-altering for many, and the wait excruciating. CTV's Beth McDonnell reports.
Rachel Bagheera wants desperately to get back to this and this. The 16-year-old has been sidelined from the soccer pitch and a crucial surgery.
It just aches sometimes, too. It's like a constant throbbing pain that you can't get rid of.
The high-level competitive center back from Ajax is in grade 11. She hopes to get recruited by a varsity team and land a possible university scholarship. With the post-op recovery expected to take 9 months, she worries if she'll be ready when teams start looking at players in the fall and beyond.
I might not be at my best. I might not even be a kind of a quality player that they'd want to look at. So that would definitely impact the chance of being recruited, making it kind of harder to see those dreams come true.
Bagheera needs an operation to replace her ACL and meniscus, resulting from an injury in October. She found out shortly before Christmas it would be delayed, no date in sight.
Heartbreaking.
Public Health Ontario says up to 10,000 procedures are now being pushed a week, while the directive could bring on up to 1,500 acute and post-acute beds.
Your knee hurts.
Bagheera's mom wants to see more done to help young people waiting to resume their lives.
There's got to be a creative solution. You know, maybe it's, you know, going to areas that are not so affected by COVID, looking at hospitals that, you know, do have those OR times available. You know, I'm willing to travel.
Already, Bagheera says on and off school and training because of COVID has been hard enough. The surgery delay even more so.
Trying to do my exercises that I have leading up to the surgery just so that I can be as strong as possible going into it, and just kind of trying to stay as positive and motivated as possible, as challenging as it may be.
Knowing the longer she waits, the bigger impact it could have on her future. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
Also tonight, if you've worn a mask with glasses, you know you can't see when they fog up. But could those anti-fog sprays be solving one problem while creating another? Do your glasses fog up when you wear a mask? Many people have been solving that problem by using anti-fog products.
But as CTV's Pauline Chan reports, there may be a serious health problem with some of those chemicals.
Heather Stapleton had bought some anti-fog spray for her daughter to use on her glasses while wearing her mask at school.
The chemist in me was interested, and I turned around because their ingredients happened to be listed, and I saw the word fluoroaliphatic.
PFAs are a group of chemicals known as forever chemicals because they don't break down. They were created for use as a water-repellent coating.
Water-repellent jackets are a good example, stain-resistant carpets and couches. Because they're grease-resistant, they're used on frying pans.
But some of these chemicals are known to be cancer-causing, and others appear to affect the body's metabolism, especially of lipids. Stapleton and researchers at Duke University investigated the chemicals in a handful of anti-fogging cloths and sprays, which have grown in popularity with mask use against COVID-19.
Given that we found them in every product we tested, we have this sense that they're likely to be common in some of these sprays. Unfortunately, most manufacturers don't list their ingredients, so it's not something one could look for on the bottle. We found that the levels were fairly high. In fact, that one pump of the spray for some of these products would result in pretty high exposure.
In addition, some of the chemicals appear to be less toxic forms, but can turn toxic in the body.
But we can metabolize them to turn into those compounds.
The main concern is inhaling the anti-fog sprays, although PFAs can also enter the body through skin contact and ingestion.
These PFAS and these products impact the immune system, but I think it's important for us to look at that in the future, given that we're wearing masks because we're concerned about our exposure to a virus.
As for Stapleton's daughter, she never did use the anti-fog spray. She found a better-fitting mask. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
It's certainly not her biggest payday. The Duchess of Sussex is reportedly set to receive the equivalent of $1.73. That's after winning her lawsuit against a British tabloid. The nominal amount only covers Meghan's claims for invasion of privacy. It was awarded 10 days after the Mail on Sunday decided against pursuing further appeals. The paper will pay another unspecified sum for copyright infringement and lawyer fees. The money will go to charity. In 2019, the paper published stories based on a letter Meghan wrote to her estranged father.
As the world mourns Betty White ahead of what would have been her 100th birthday, her life is being celebrated in a new biographical comic book. The publication traces White's Hollywood journey from her childhood in Illinois to her early days in television and her iconic role on The Golden Girls. The 30-page comic by Tidal Wave Productions will be available both digitally and in print starting next week.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
It does hurt. The first lockdown, we lost 80% of our income. So it was really, really painful hit because a lot of our members need the personalized care. They want to be in person. They're looking for guidance.
Updating our top stories, business owners are working to make ends meet as a number of COVID-19 restrictions have been reimposed in Ontario. Many businesses are facing stricter capacity limits, while restaurants can no longer serve diners indoors.
Paramedics are being affected by Omicron as well, and we're having trouble staffing the truck sometimes.
Omicron is affecting emergency services, with Peel paramedics recently declaring a code black, meaning only one ambulance was available for the region. The rising case numbers are also straining the hospital system, which is already dealing with shortages created earlier in the pandemic.
Today, I'm pleased to confirm that an additional 140 million rapid tests will be delivered to provinces and territories.
The federal government is sending out millions of rapid tests as provinces and territories struggle to keep up with the demand created by the more transmissible Omicron variant.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was down 32 basis points to close at 78.35 U.S. American benchmark oil gained 86 cents a barrel to close at 77.85. And the TSX Composite Index lost 196 points to close at 21,039. Well, if you're a parent, you know this was day one in the return to online learning in Ontario.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by Lena Latifat and Chanel Call. Lena, you'll be asking parents how the day went.
Yeah, you know, Nathan, if you are a parent in Ontario, tonight's discussion is for you. So many parents say they are beyond frustrated. This has been a really challenging time as kids learn from home again. And there's a group of parents coming together in Ontario now, launching a petition calling for the Ford government to reopen schools in 2 weeks and keep schools open. We'll hear from three working moms behind that petition tonight.
And Chanel, you'll also be talking to some local BIAs about the financial support they say they need to keep small businesses afloat.
That's right. So many small businesses have been devastated during the pandemic. Many of them, as of today, closing for the third time since the pandemic started. Now, seven local BIAs are writing a letter to the federal government saying the current support provided simply isn't enough. We'll hear from them about this very urgent call coming up on CP24 tonight.
Lena and Chanel, thank you. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9. Last month, we introduced you to a Peterborough boy whose pep talk for a hockey team went viral.
This week, Cal Perks, better known as Coach Cal, brought his inspirational speaking skills to the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
So just keep working hard and staying positive and making people laugh, because you are a legend. So let's get fired up and go out there and get the W today and every day. Let's go, Ellen!
The talk show host teared up and said Coach Cal's words meant a lot. DeGeneres also gave Perks a special tracksuit and water bottle for his next motivational speech, saying she thinks he'll go big on to do big things. Go on to do big things. There we go.
Oh, he sure will. Let's talk about the winds. They're gusty tonight.
Yeah, gusts up to 70 kilometers an hour tonight, so we're under a special weather statement, down to minus 7 tonight, up to minus 1 tomorrow. It's going to feel quite cold, and be prepared for that for the rest of the 7 day. And remember, tonight's Lotto 649 jackpot is estimated at $28 million plus a guaranteed $1 million prize. Back to you.
Thank you, Michelle. And be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, you can watch breaking news all day on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night.